Right, let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Your word is at times confusing and a puzzle. At times we don't understand what is meant by it, but we trust that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that somehow we could use it and it would be helpful and beneficial in the week ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a kid, I used to watch the show Laurel and Hardy. Any of you watch that show? Yes, yes. And then I don't remember, okay, there's a picture up there, right? The big guy, now is that Laurel or is that Hardy? Does anybody know? Huh? The big guy's Oliver and the other guy's Stanley, right? So Oliver used to say to Stanley, now that's another fine mess that you've gotten us into, right? And then he would scratch his head and says, sorry, Ollie. So he used to say that because they would get into trouble, right? Or they would get into a mess, or they would get into this quandary, and you think, how are they going to get out of this? How are they saying this to each other? How are we going to get out of it? Interestingly, our scripture today, which is from the lectionary from the gospel, is about mess, because the manager, the master, and the debtors are all in a mess. According to verse 1, the master had entrusted his property to a manager. The manager was letting the assets waste away or be lost or diminish. And the Greek word is diasporizo, which means it's used in three kind of different ways. Like in Matthew, it's used to talk about the sheep when they got scattered. Or in Luke, where the prodigal son just went on this spending frenzy. And then also talks about the seeds that are scattered on the ground. So it could be that this manager was either careless or irresponsible or impulsive, or he didn't plan. And so the master's money was being lessened and he was losing income. So the master finally got hold of it and understood that everything was in disarray, so it is losing value. There's no benefit or profit, so the solution is to fire the manager. So the manager leaves things in a mess. The manager leaves the master's properties in a mess. And of course, the manager's life is a mess. When we go through messes in life, which we do quite frequently, we ask ourselves, how did we get in this mess? Why didn't we know about it earlier? If we had known about it earlier, we could have prevented it, or we could have done something sooner. Well, if we did know about it sooner, we would have fixed it, right? Or we would have done something about it. But was the manager thinking, okay, I'm going to make my life a mess? Or was the manager thinking, I'm going to make my master's life a mess? Or was he thinking, I'm just going to make all these creditors or these debtors' life a mess? Or was it that the manager was just making mistakes? Could be honest mistakes. How was he reporting it? What was the system of reporting it? Where is the accountability? So I guess there wasn't a system. So what ends up happening is that a result of all these, like a perfect storm of things coming together to where it just becomes this great mess. Now, who do we blame? Do we blame the manager? Do we blame people who kind of know about it, but don't say anything about it? Or do we blame the master, because the master should have known, right? The master should have been keeping closer contact and watching over it. We could say all the above. We could say, well, the manager is at fault, but those who knew about it, could do something about it, also were at fault. And the master was at fault. In other words, we have to share responsibility. in what's happening, especially when there's a mess. It's not one person, but all. Someone should have been asking the questions. Someone should have raised the issues and be checking in, but apparently they let it go. They let it go too long. We're in this together. We got in the mess together, and we have to work through it together, and we're going to solve it together. So finally, someone in the parable spoke up and said, look, this is happening. So the master takes action and fires him. What normally happens when someone is fired? You simply release that person of any duty or responsibility. There's a separation. There is no more contact, or the contract is gone, and we hope that the employee just moves on. But according to this scripture, that's not exactly how it ends. In fact, the manager takes some actions, right? He strategizes. He makes deals. And he tries to make amends. And he does so in order to survive. So he takes some steps to make things better. Better for who? Well, he goes to those who owe debts, and he says to the one, you owe 100 measures of olive oil, now just cut that in half. Or to the one who owed 100 measures of wheat, he says, you owe 100, now you owe only 80. The manager's solution is a surprise. The master's reaction is even more surprising. Now, the manager's position and solution is, I'm going to go to the debtors, and I'm going to make them happy, right? So he gives them a break. He gives them a discount, and he gives them grace. When we're in a mess, the message here is, give others a break. Be graceful. Give them a measure of grace. The solution is, make other people happy. Come up with responses that help the greater number, the greater community, the greater whole. Be generous. Be helpful. With patience and grace, forgiveness. Now, the master, you would think that he would get more angry, more disgusted, because the master, first of all, lost a lot of value, lost a lot of money. Now he's going to lose even more and get deeper into deficit. You would think that the master would be enraged, because the manager doesn't have authority now. Can't do that, not supposed to do what he's doing. But the reaction of the master is that the master is pleased. The master is happy. The master has a change of heart. The master changes his opinion of the manager. It is surprising. It's shocking. It doesn't make sense. Now, at the beginning of the parable, it seems like the value is manage the investment, grow the investment, and make profit. But in the end, the higher value is lessening the burdens of other people, lightening the load of other people, giving out grace, and not being so hardcore about what you deserve or what you earned. It's kind of a different value. Even though the master fired the manager, in the end, it wasn't about money that mattered. It wasn't the profit margin that mattered. What mattered was giving a break to those indebted and those burdened, continuing to work with them, network with them, keep the relationship going. And all this made the master find favor with the manager. The punchline in the end of the section is, you cannot serve God and money or wealth, because God is about forgiveness and grace and relationship, and it's not about the bottom line dollar figure. but about relationships. One day, a man went up to John Wesley, who's the founder of the United Methodist Church and denomination, and he said to John Wesley, "Everything is dark. My thoughts, they're lost. But I hear that you're preaching to people day and night. What would you do with them? Where would you lead them? What religion are you preaching about, and what good is it?" And John Wesley said this, "What do I do with them? I would make them virtuous and happy, easy in themselves and useful to other people. Where do I lead them? I lead them to heaven. I lead them to God, who is the judge and the lover of all, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. What religion do I preach? I preach a religion of love, and the law of kindness that brought light by the gospel. And what do I do for them? What good is it? So that they receive and enjoy God and enjoy themselves, and to make life like God, lovers of all, content with their lives, crying out at their death, 'Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?' But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Christ Jesus." What was it that pleased the master? Was it that the manager acknowledged and recognized that he needed to change? Was it pleasing to the master that the manager came to the discovery and the realization that, oh, there's a problem, and I need to do something and respond with grace? To salvage the relationship, to solve this mess, to make amends, is that what made the master have a change of mind and change of heart? I came across Elie Wiesel's writing the other day. He was a Holocaust survivor. And he said, "The opposite of love is not hate, but indifference. The opposite of art isn't ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, but indifference. The opposite of life is not death, but indifference." Perhaps the manager was indifferent to the master. Perhaps a manager was indifferent to all these people in debt and said, "It's not my problem. They have to pay it." Perhaps the manager was indifferent to his own life. Nothing mattered. The manager could have continued to be indifferent. Perhaps what pleased the master the most was that the manager was able to recognize his own indifference and to say, "I'm going to do something about it." To practice grace, to practice love and generosity and charity. How do I get out of the mess? Is to get out of my indifference and to do something good for God and to do something good for neighbor, and to do something good for the community, and to put into practice good grace and not be indifferent. So I leave you with those thoughts today. Amen.